Good morning. One service note to share this morning, and that is you'll see in your worship bulletin that on page 4 there's a hymn listed, and that is the hymn that we'll be singing right before the sermon. Hymn 540 is printed in your service bulletin. We open our service with prayer. O Lord, you are a God of great mercy and blessing. In your love, you've redeemed us from all of our sins and have bestowed on us the gift of eternal life. Be with us, O Lord, in the midst of the struggles and the sufferings of this present age. Comfort us with your gracious promises. Guide us by the lamp of your word this morning and bless us with the assurance of your presence as we worship you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In his saving name we pray. Amen. Welcome to our worship service today. This is the 8th Sunday after Epiphany, in which we'll consider the many blessings that we have as God's children that fill our hearts with great peace and joy, even in the midst of the many different trials and sufferings of this present age, which will one day be gone. We pray the Spirit of our God will be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior God in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we've disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. We worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God, almighty Father, heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord. At God's right hand in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, of your bountiful goodness, keep us, we pray, from all things that may hurt us, so that we, being ready in both body and soul, may joyfully accomplish whatever things you want done. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. First of our scriptures today is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, the prophet, in the 55th chapter, a reading in which we learn the joyous news. One of the things that makes our hearts indeed cheerful and happy as Christians is to know that the word of God that we share with others will indeed produce fruit and grow in the Lord's own way and time, just as the rain comes down from the earth and the snow to water the earth and cause things to grow. This reading is found in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Here ends the first lesson. Now we join in reading responsively portions from Psalm 65. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You crown the year with your goodness. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are covered with grain. Our next lesson is found recorded in the book of Matthew's Gospel, one of the parables of Jesus, called the parable of the sower and the seed, in which we hear about the different reactions to the Word of God when it is shared. Not always positive, but again, we note how some of the seed, according to God's grace and His timing, always produces fruit in the hearts of people. We read there in Matthew 13, 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Here ends the second reading. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
I invite you to arise for the confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You sing the hymn in your bulletin. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text is found recorded in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So far the text. Jesus' name, dear Christian friends, you're probably aware that the pages of Scripture, the words of our God, are sprinkled with many paradoxes. Paradox with seemingly absurd self-contradictory statements, which on the surface appear to be making little sense to our minds. In fact, the world would call them nonsense, but which we recognize as Bible-believing children of God as wonderfully true. Examples of such paradoxes: we all by nature are unworthy sinners in the sight of our holy God, and yet, as his redeemed children in Christ, we're sinless saints. Another one, paradox that by nature we're paupers before our God, and yet in Christ we possess all things, so blessed with an abundance of heavenly treasure, in fact, that we're able to make others rich. Another paradox, we're weak, vulnerable to the attacks of the old evil foe. On earth is not his equal. Yet in Christ, we're stronger than Satan, invincible against him, safe from his attacks, more than conquerors. The paradoxical truth we want to hone in on today is the one that Paul highlights in our text, namely how that on the one hand we're subject to sorrow, many griefs of various kinds and discouragements, and yet in Christ our beloved Savior we are joyful, filled with happiness, true blessedness already now in the present, and an indescribably wonderful future of happiness in yonder life. So we want to consider this text of St. Paul, which we might consider as a word of St. Paul for discouraged Christians. First, we'll discuss the cause of our discouragements, and then how to overcome them, how the Lord fills our hearts, even in the midst of disappointments and discouragements, with his joy. In regard to the cause of our discouragements, let's note how Paul makes reference in the opening verse of this text to the sufferings of this present time. What Paul has in mind here are the many unpleasantries that are our lot as people living in a world that is laboring under the adverse effects of sin. You know that when God created the world in the beginning, he created it perfect. Creation story, Genesis 1 tells how God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. There was for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, in their original created state, nothing to cause any discouragements. No sicknesses, no bodily aches or pains, no sadness, no stress. Just joy. But when sin entered the world, things changed. Their joy-filled, loving relationship with God was wrecked. And the creation also was wrecked. It began to groan and labor with birth pangs, as Paul says here. It began suffering things like wildfires and catastrophic floods and blistering droughts and insect infestations and plagues and pandemics, all of which caused the earth's inhabitants to suffer problems that the Creator never intended when he first made his perfect world. And God's people were not immune from the sufferings caused by the sin curse to the creation. They also became subject to things like discouragements and disappointments. A couple examples from the Bible you'll remember. Remember Job? He suffered discouragement when he experienced the loss of his earthly possessions from a bad storm, and by raiders came in and stole all of his animals, and lost his family members in a big windstorm that collapsed the house they were partying in, and even then suffered from a debilitating health problem. Also remember how the prophet Elijah suffered great discouragement when he was lamenting as he hid away in a cave to escape Queen Jezebel's murderous clutches, as he noted the widespread faithlessness of the people, thinking he was the only one left who was a believer. Also, if you read through the book of Psalms, you'll note that there are various psalm writers who give expression to intense feelings of sorrow and disillusionment caused by the troubles that they encountered along life's path. What about you and me? Does it happen that we also are subject to feeling down in the mouth at times? Are our lives a constant, never-ending bowl of cherries, bed of roses? Or are we subject sometimes, perhaps oftentimes, to discouragements, tempted to be fearful, to groan within ourselves because of unpleasant happenings we see in the world at large, happening in the news, and in our own personal lives? We don't need to be discouraged, just as we never have to worry. Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, "Do not worry, your Father knows what you need, and he'll give you what you need exactly as your loving Father at the time that you need it." But it's part and parcel of living in a world laboring under the sin curse. We do experience, as weak mortals, stressors, health issues that cause discouragement, and other life events that sometimes leave us feeling more than a little bit overwhelmed. So how to overcome discouragements? Two words St. Paul uses in our text that provide us with the answer, the Lord's answer. One is that word, wait. Just as God's ruined creation waits with eager longing for the day when it will no longer be in bondage to decay, when God is going to keep his promise to make it over to be like it once was. The day when God will cause all his children to be openly revealed and wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there'll be no more death and no more sorrow or pain. Just like the creation is waiting, as it were, for that to happen, we too as Christians are to wait for that day with patience and eagerness, bearing in mind we're living in the between times That's between the already and the not yet. We already have been given the first fruits of the Spirit, as Paul says here. That is, the Holy Spirit indwells us by faith and has made our bodies his temple. He's been given to us as the down payment on what God is going to give us later. And though we still temporarily groan, we suffer along with the fallen world, and yeah, also our bodies do suffer from the aging process, from aches, pains, especially as we grow older. You young people, you'll find that out too, if you haven't already. The aches and pains that come to our mortal bodies, especially as we grow older. Yet, we're cheered by God's promise of what is to be. Just as the rest of the creation will be set free from its bondage to decay, so will we. And so, Paul exhorts us to assiduously and patiently, that means with great care and perseverance, wait. A lot of Bible verses that speak of waiting too, in addition to the ones in our text, I might share with you, where the Lord also encourages us. Some examples, Hebrews 9:28. Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many to those who eagerly wait for him. He's going to appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Isaiah 40:31, you probably know this verse. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Philippians 3, the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things and who have nothing to wait for at all except destruction. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whom we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our now lowly bodies to be conformed to his glorious body. Also, that beautiful Psalm passage, Psalm 130, where the psalmist writes, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. And that's a good segue into our next word. First one, the word wait. Second one, hope. Paul uses here the picture of a mother giving birth to teach us this. A mother, while in the throes of her birthing agony, the intense, violent pain that she suffers, is buoyed by the knowledge, by the joy that she's going to be blessed with a new baby. And so too in our lives, as pilgrims passing through this world, we do suffer pains of different kinds, unpleasantries like those we spoke of earlier, work stressors, medical ailments, other troubles like loved ones being taken from us by death. We have the world's scorn and hatred like we hear about, especially in our missions overseas. It's terrible things that they're enduring over there. Pangs living in a sinful world. You might also fill in the blank right now with something that you're going through right now that only you know about, that you're finding hard to bear. These are the birth pangs that make us Christians inwardly groan, but the Lord has given us the wonderful joy, the beautiful promise. As we sang, if we but trust in him to guide us and place our confidence in him, he'll give us strength and stand beside us when days are dreary, dark, or dim. For all who trust his changeless love builds on the rock that never moves. And then in the end, yes, he will also then set us free from all that causes us discomfort now. In fact, the glory he's going to confer upon us later, outfitting us with new and perfect bodies, eternal life in his presence, fullness of joy, pleasures forever, will be so grand that we may look upon the pains that we suffer now as nothing, as Paul says, not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We may indeed live with high optimism and a very hopeful outlook. No wonder the Lord exhorts us his dear children in Christ to be patient and await his leisure in cheerful hope with hearts content, and take whate'er our Father's pleasure and his discerning love has sent, and to doubt not, for our inmost wants are known to him who chose us to be his very own. And in closing, dear friends, let's be reminded too that it's a very comfort, good comfort for our lives as Christians to be reminded that Jesus himself, who came into this sin-torn world, he was subject to discouragement, same as we encountered, and a whole lot more. In all points, the Bible says, he was tempted as we are, including the temptation to become overwhelmed by trouble that he ran into, more than we'll ever know. But he overcame them for the joy set before him and has taught us by his example how to overcome them by focusing on the faithful promises of our faithful God. So may the Lord so grant, and may he help us to keep in mind for our daily encouragement during these days in this present age, the days of our faith walk as pilgrims through the world, all those beautiful paradoxes. We're by nature sinners in God's sight, yet as redeemed children in Christ, we become saints, clothed in his righteousness. We are by nature paupers, yet in Christ we possess all things, so we're able to make others rich by sharing with them the blessings of the gospel. We are weak and vulnerable to the assaults of the evil one in ourselves, yet in Christ we've been made super conquerors, powerful, reigning kings and priests, privileged to serve our God and Father. We've been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the world's foundation to be his, to the praise of his glorious grace. So when you're tempted to get discouraged, meditate on these things. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus. Amen.
In me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.
O holy God, we thank you that you have so generously given to the world its daily bread, providing the rich earth with its wonders untold, the seed whose powers unfold in abundant harvests with the sunshine that you provide and the rain that makes the fields fruitful. And we especially thank you that in your boundless love you provided for our soul's hunger in the gift of the bread from heaven, Jesus Christ, your Son. Grant, O Father, that we may believe on him with all our hearts and find the joys and satisfactions of this heavenly food. O Lord, we cry for forgiveness and pardon. Turn us to Jesus Christ, your Son, who was bruised for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions, that by his blood we may be cleansed, healed, and forgiven. Grant that we may also find in Christ the strength we do not find in ourselves, the power to uphold us in the toils and conflicts of this present age, the resolution to do your will so that we may be your true and faithful servants, and the will to overcome our weaknesses and yield ourselves to righteousness and holiness. Set watchmen over your church who shall pray without ceasing for the work of the gospel in all lands. Preach your word with all boldness. Prepare your people for the time when our Lord Jesus shall return to the earth and present to you in the end a holy and redeemed church, a blessed priesthood of believers. Graciously be the help to all of our families, implant your word in the hearts of our children and your love in our parents, so that they may enjoy now and forever the fruits of holiness. Free those who are suffering in body or soul from their troubles, and bind them ever more strongly to yourself, dear Father, so that they may have abundant life and live to serve and praise you always. And as we leave this place, may each of us keep in mind our calling, always bearing in mind that we are your temples in whom you graciously condescend to dwell. Today and each day, move us to live as your children in your presence. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, in his name we pray, amen. We also unite in praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. 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 To you and adoration, blessed Jesus, Son of God, to serve your own creation, came to share our flesh and blood. Guide me that I never may from your fold or pasture stray, but with zeal and joy exceeding, follow where your steps are leading. Hold me ever in your keeping, comfort me in pain and strife, in my laughter and my weeping, be with me throughout my life. Give me greater love for you, and my faith and hope renew in your birth, your life and passion, in your death and resurrection.